Going to be my goal that over time to kind of preach through the book of Philippians, and today we'll look at verses 1 through 11, and Paul here addresses these Christians. I wonder if you ever have the problem that you feel like you need to love others more than you do. Sometimes it may be that whether they make it hard to love them, or whether it's something with you personally that you don't have the care and the love for a certain brother or sister or family in the Lord's body like you ought to have. Maybe sometimes you feel like it's exasperating. And like Paul was one time, you get annoyed and you find that to be a little bit difficult. And you think, well, I could do better. And I want to love others in the church more than I do. Maybe you're better than that. Maybe you don't struggle with that at all. But what you see is that I want to develop with my brothers and sisters, the family of God in the local congregation, I want to develop with them a closer, deeper relationship than I have. I think that we can do that. We can overcome the obstacles that I spoke of at first and the difficulties that I spoke of at first. And in doing that, we can realize that people do have faults and they may have things that get on our... One time I preached about our last nerve. Maybe they get on our last nerve. And maybe it is that our love is a little bit shallow sometimes and we want to develop that to be a little stronger and a little deeper. When you look in the book of Philippians and you see the first few verses there, Paul talks to those Christians with their bishops and with their deacons, with the saints that were part of that local group, and he gives them a greeting in Christ, and he dives right in. And sometimes we think about the book of Philippians and we think about joy. Well, how did Paul have this joy, have this close relationship with these Philippians? He takes time from being in prison, awaiting his trial and ultimately his execution, to write a letter to Philippi, to these Christians. And he expresses how much he cares for them. How did he develop that care? We're going to look at three ways this morning that we can be closer together. We can have a deeper love, a greater understanding with one another, a greater appreciation for one another, a greater service to one another, and how we might love one another more. And so I'd ask you to open up your Bibles, to look with me in Philippians chapter 1. I'll put the verses on the screen here, but you search those things out for yourself. When we look there in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says that he has these Christians in his thoughts. And in verses 3 through 6, Paul speaks of his thankfulness. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Paul says, I remember you. I bring you to my mind and I think about you. As you look around, you know, it's easy to think about and say, oh, well, there's this person. And when you leave here, you go out into the world, you go about your week, you go to your job. Do you take time to think about other Christians? Paul says, I'm remembering what kind of people you are. Now, let me say this, that sometimes maybe we'd rather forget. I hope that's not the case. Oh, I don't want to think about them. Paul says with thankfulness, he realizes their devotion to God. He realizes what they have done for him. He realizes the work they're doing and he doesn't want them to give up. He says, I think about you. I bring you to my mind and I consider you. As you go throughout your week, you can intentionally bring to your remembrance the other Christians. Not just your best buddy. Not just your close friend or your relative. If you need to, you can take a list of all the members. And you can read down through there. And you can take a time to say, you know what, I remember that they cared enough to be at services on Sunday. I remember the difficulty they're going through. I remember how they helped me one time. I want to think about them. Do you have others, other Christians in your thoughts, in your things that come into your mind? Maybe you have a lot of things that come into your mind. Maybe you fill your mind with things from the radio and television and music, and those things get swimming around in your head. Well, make some room so that you might consider others in your thoughts. You know, there's some scriptures that help us to go further and to think about this. In Genesis chapter 6, I want you to see that man has to be careful about what he thinks about. Because in Genesis chapter 6, it says, "Then the Lord God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth." And God here knew that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. And so you watch the news and you see all the evil. And you watch maybe some television show maybe you shouldn't even have on. And it puts other thoughts in your head that shouldn't be there. Maybe sometimes you have that very harsh thought towards your brothers and sisters. Harsh and critical. And here we see that we have to be careful about that. Because early in the creation, God saw man's thoughts. His actions too. But his thoughts were only on evil continually. What we read about over and over again in these days is that there was violence. And that outward violence begins with inward hate. I want you to think about one another more. I have you in my thoughts. You ever tell someone that? Say, we'll be thinking about you. Usually what we mean by that is we're going to be praying for them. But you know, it helps me to know that someone is mindful of me. When we think about Almighty God, what is man that you're mindful of Him? What is it that such a great and mighty and awesome God, the Creator, that He thinks of me and He thinks of you? We take great encouragement from that. God thinks about me. He wants me to be saved. But you know, it's also encouraging if I know, if you say, you know, I was thinking about you today. Maybe you make a call or you send a text or an email or you send a card. You stop by, you do some good thing because you've got that person in your thoughts. You're thinking about their needs. That's what Paul said about these Philippians. He was remembering them. Look at Jesus in Matthew 9. It says, now realize here, Jesus is seeking, we're going to talk about this passage in a longer way on a different occasion. But just realize here some of what Jesus was going through. He was seeking solitude. He was seeking quiet. And these multitudes keep following Him. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus wants some quiet time. Jesus has a lot that He's dealing with. And He turns around and He sees the crowd and He thinks of them. He has them in His thoughts. He is moved with compassion. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, I thought I would have done. I hope I would be moved with compassion. But I think I would be tempted to say, can't you people leave me alone for just a minute? I've healed. I've fed. I've done everything for you. and I need a minute. Jesus looks around and he thinks of them. And he has compassion. He has care for them. Do you have others in your thoughts? You know, the opposite is to only have yourself, only to be self-centered. But if we're going to love one another more, we're going to be closer. We're going to overcome the obstacles that keep us from loving one another. And we're going to develop a deeper love. We have to take time to think about one another. Paul, later in Philippians, writes, "For whatever things are true, or noble, or just, or pure, or lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And so you may have some time that you think of a brother or sister and say, "Oh, you know what? They just annoyed me so bad the other day." Well, get rid of that and say, "You know what? They were at worship. They are trying to serve God." And so let's turn that around. Take those negative things out. And let's say, what can I find good to think about that person? Don't just think about them. I can hear in my mind, "Oh, I'm thinking." Think a good thing. Things praiseworthy, lovely, a good report. Could you find that? If you sat down and made a list of every person who's here today, every member of this local church, could you? Maybe a good exercise. Write their name down and say, "I'm going to write at least one good thing about every single person. I'm going to think about them. I'm going to try to love them more than I do." What else does Paul say? Paul says, not only am I thinking about you, but it's deeper than that. It's more than that. He says, "I have you in my heart." Paul says, beginning at verse 7, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, for you are all partakers of me with grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Christ." Do you see it both in verse 6 and verse 7? When he calls them, he says, "you all." He's not from the south. Otherwise, he might say, "y'all." "You all." If you would do a little study, you might be surprised at how many times just in the book of Philippians, and I had this noted for myself, and I forgot to bring it here with me, Paul uses the phrase, "you all," in Philippians. It shows that they were a close group, and that Paul's care for them extended to every member. "To think this of you all. How I long for you all." But Paul says, "I can think this of you. I can have you in my mind because I have you in my heart. I can think about you because I really care about you." Paul goes on to talk about that they shared some very important things. They stood with Paul and they supported him as he defended the gospel. And as he's in prison for the gospel, they have been with him. He says, "I've got you in my heart." It's a great thing that as you go out here, you say, "Okay, I'm going to work and I'm going to work on having them in my thoughts. I'm going to work on having them in my mind." But Paul expresses something deeper here. That he cares. He loves them. He appreciates who they are, what they mean to him, how close they've become in the gospel. When we look at some other passages that go along with this, 1 John 4 is a great chapter on this. And he says here, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." I have you in my heart. Love one another. If you find it impossible to have another Christian in your heart, you're going to have to stop and reconcile this passage. Because if you don't love, you don't even know God. Remember in class today in Acts that Paul says, "You Athenians, you worship the unknown God, but you don't even know God. Let me proclaim Him to you." When we don't love other Christians, when I have that hate or that lack of love, that lack of care, John would tell me here, you don't know God. Because God is love. Down in verse 11 of this same chapter, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So we think, well, God loved me so much, He gave His Son for me. But God loved Steve that much, and Robert that much, and even Garrett that much. And on this side too. Every one of us. And so if God loved them like He loved me, then I ought to love them. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." When Paul says, "I've got you in my heart," he's saying they're disciples of the Lord. Jesus wanted me to love them. Others will know about the Lord because of our care for one another. I promise you three things. How to love one another. Have others in your thoughts. Have others in your heart and your care for them. Have others in your prayers. Isn't that what Paul said in this passage? He says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God." Paul thought of them. Paul had them in his heart. And Paul says, we can be close like this. We can have this deep, close relationship. I can overcome the obstacles that may make me not want to love you as much when I take time to pray for you. You know, not like the publican. I'm thankful I'm not like them. But praying with thanksgiving and encouragement about the needs that they may have. Paul wanted them to love one another more. He wanted them to know more. He wanted them to approve the things that were right, to be sincere and to be faithful until the time the Lord would return. Or they would pass from this life. We ought to have that same prayer as we wait for the Lord's return now. Look at James chapter 5. Sometimes we focus on what the effective fervent prayer, it avails much. But he begins and he says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Sometimes I look at that last part of that passage and I think, oh well, the farmer has a drought, I need to pray. There's a disaster in the world, I need to pray. James writes, pray for one another. Talk to one another about what you need. And then pray together about it. About your spiritual needs. And that will avail much. When you think about others, you pray for them. It'll bring us closer together. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 15, verses 30 and through 32. And he says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you." Paul had some big challenges. He had some obstacles. He says, "Be close with me. Stick by my side. I want you to work together with me." He says, "Strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Bring them closer. Bring them more united. Help them feel a part of what Paul was doing. Pray together. And pray about one another. How to love one another more. In your thoughts, in your heart, in your prayers." You might stop and ask yourself, can you say, with every other Christian, those who are here and those who may be traveling and those who may be sick today or weak, "I have you in my thoughts. I think about you. I have you in my heart. I care about you. And I have you in my prayers. I talk to God about how special you are and about what your needs may be." I think that if we'll do that, we can be like Paul and the Philippians. We can be close. We can care for one another more and better. Very practical. Every day. You can start this afternoon. Or yet this morning. As you think about these things, you may say, "Wow, what a great relationship Christians have with one another." That great relationship we have with one another is because of the great relationship we have with the Lord. If you want to be part of the family of God, you have to be baptized into that one body. Would you turn away from sin, confess Christ before men, and be baptized into Christ Jesus so that your sins can be washed away? Would there be a child of God here who's wandered away? I can tell you for sure. If you become unfaithful, you're in our thoughts, and you're in our hearts, and you're in our prayers. But we'd like to see you restored to the Lord today. If you'll turn away from that and confess that to God, we'll pray with you about that. We offer you the Lord's invitation as we'll stand and sing the song.